Thank you.
I guess let's just go with that.
Can everyone see that? Okay. Or see it well, at least. Yeah, so as you guys know, I got back from Ukraine about 2 weeks ago. And, I felt like I learned a lot. I feel like it was a good experience, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. As you can see, it was really interesting. Thank you so much for everyone who prayed for me. Thank you so much for people who sent words of encouragement or called me while I was there. I know the time difference, I think it was 10 hours. So those of you who did do that, I know it was a big sacrifice. Felt good to still feel connected to my home congregation. So I'll just go through a few pictures. Now, I do want to have a disclaimer. A lot of these pictures aren't very interesting, and that's because my job wasn't very interesting. Is this on? Check. Is this on? Okay. I was a bookkeeper, so I was behind a computer desk like 80% of my time there. And so any time that we went on a tour, or any time that I was able to go out on some mission to some village, it was like, well, this is exciting. Let's take pictures to show everyone that my life isn't boring. And so I got a lot of very generic pictures here. But I'll kind of try to show you what my job was, different stuff I did, friends I was hanging out with, stuff like that. And my life wasn't that. I did enjoy what I was there to do. I did thoroughly enjoy that. So this was, I think, the day I left. Oh, I did the wrong option. I needed to do this. Okay. So this was the day I left. I was all packed. I think I had two big suitcases and a backpack. And I think this was a couple hours before I headed out, I'm pretty sure. Flew out of Eugene. It's a picture with my mom. I don't know if you can see all my stuff. This was me flying out of Eugene. A good picture to remember Oregon, right? Beautiful, which, you know, as much as it's foggy and rainy here, it was kind of that way in Ukraine, too. And it's just green out here. So this was my flight path. For those of you that are interested in this, many people would think I would just go straight across, but we actually go up over Greenland and Iceland. I think this was a 12-hour flight, I want to say. So I went from Eugene to Seattle, and then from Seattle to Frankfurt, Germany, and then from Frankfurt, you can see FRA. From Frankfurt, I went to Warsaw, Poland, and then from Poland, we trained into Kyiv, which is the capital, and then from there, it was like a 2-hour drive to the base. So, and on my way back, it was daylight, and I got some pictures coming in over Greenland. That was beautiful. This is me not feeling so well in Frankfurt. I just got off a very long flight where I didn't sleep very well. My eyes were burning, and I did try to make the photo look a little worse than I actually felt, but that is basically how I felt. So then, I met up with Austin's two brothers and a friend from that area. And we flew from Frankfurt to Poland together. And then we got to this train station. And we got to Warsaw around 2 in the morning, and our train left at like 6 or 7. So we're like, let's just go to the train station. It can't be that bad, right? So I got to the train station, and first off, there was like no heater. It was bitter cold. I mean, just horrible cold. We were like crazy shivering. And there was a McDonald's in the area, but it was closed, of course, right? And it's just how it works, right? So the McDonald's was closed. We couldn't even go get a warm cup of coffee. And not only that, was there was these beggars, like, everywhere. And we must have looked like Americans because they kept coming up. And if Troy was here, he would mimic the accent. I can't do it that well. But they would ask for food. And they knew just enough English to ask for food. And then, of course, once we gave one guy food, they all started coming. I think at the end of this video, you can see a guy come walking up to us. But this is the train station where we spent like 3-4 hours. And this was not in Ukraine yet. We were still in, there's that guy in the black coat coming up, and there's McDonald's in the back. there's the three guys I was hanging out with. Anyways, so we're like, hey, we got to do something to warm us up. This is just crazy cold. And one of them had brought frisbees, which some of you know they're really into disc golf, and so they brought frisbees with them to Ukraine. And we went downstairs. It's kind of an upstairs part. You can see there was downstairs there. And we started throwing this frisbee back and forth. And there was a bunch of security officers there, and they're like, no game, no game. And we tried to act at first like we didn't know what they were meaning, but then that just made them more upset, so we just stopped playing. But we were cold. We were trying to do everything we could to stay warm. This is on the train. There's two trains. You go from the Warsaw to the border, and then from the border you change into a Ukrainian train and go from there. This is the Ukrainian train, and we got a sleeper car. And so there's four beds in each apartment. And as much as it was kind of gross thinking that you're on the same bed as hundreds of other people, it was actually like super comfortable. And I mean, it's a 12-hour train ride, so you sleep amazing because, you know, you didn't have much sleep before then. The one downside to this is I had the bottom bunk and the sun was streaming through my window so I could see all the dust in the air. And that just made it really bad. I tried to sleep through my shirt, but I still got sick. So I don't know if it's from the dust. But anyways, here's the train car with our mountain of luggage in the middle. It's not a very good video, but kind of the gist of it. You could shut the door. You could put the blinds down. It's kind of nice. You can kind of go to sleep. This made nice. There's four of us guys, so we can kind of not worry about our luggage. But other times when I came back to the States, it was a little nerve-wracking to go to sleep and know that people could go through my luggage if they wanted. This was in the morning. This is one of the very first things I noticed coming up. I was like, what are those? It's like, what are those things? You know, it's dark and woke up in the morning. They were tank shells. That was kind of, those of you who know me knew that kind of interested me. This is the group of guys. Obviously, the three guys I already showed to you. The guy on the right was kind of, in a sense, our tour guide. He had been there for a couple weeks. That was the second time there. He was the mechanic for IBA. And took us around town, took us to this coffee shop, which is owned by a local believer. And it's a wonderful coffee shop. The coffee's like a dollar. And we went there a lot throughout my time there. It was just a great place to hang out. And, yeah, great group of friends. So then he wanted to give us a Ukraine experience, so we went to the gas station. We got Ukrainian hot dogs. And there's these weird tube-like buns. And they pour ketchup in there, and they pour mustard and horseradish and everything else that they like. And then they take a hot dog, and they stuff it down in there. And it's actually super clean because nothing really can get out of it. And it actually tastes amazing. If you go to Ukraine, you got to get one of these. It's kind of a very Ukraine experience. And then, of course, for good measure, they put a smiley face on it. This was our first Sunday here. Can you guys hear? I guess you guys can't hear this very well. I don't think the stick mic is on. I didn't even try to turn. That's my problem. You can't really hear much. It's just one of the guys giving a talk, and then he's being translated. Let me just see if I can put this here. Maybe. So this was church. This is where I went to church every Sunday. Great group of people. There was like three organizations in the area. In fact, the guy that's speaking in the plain coat, he would go. He's a nationwide guy. There's a nationwide organization in the area that packed food boxes. And they would come about every other Sunday because they would try to... Their group switches out every month, so they would try to go visit the other MIM churches. And when they came, it would fill the church like crazy. This is one of my first jobs. I'll also mention most of these pictures were on my Ukraine chat. So if you're on my Ukraine chat, I'm sorry. But I figured I would just re-show a lot of these photos. This was one of my first jobs. My house parent came up to me and said, hey, some of the wires are getting warm, and I think it's because they're all going to one leg, and we need to separate to different, you know, the three different legs. So I had to open this box, and it was old Soviet technology. And it just, you know, had danger written all over it, basically. 230 volts. I kind of thought it was cool. I mean, you can see these resistors up here. You just push these massive resistors. I think they're resistors. No, they're fuses, I think. Push these massive fuses into the box. And then you would have this massive crank to disconnect all the connections, and you kind of have to make sure that it actually disconnected. So the other major job that we did is when I came in, about a week later, a number of the board had come through, and they looked at the office and were like, this is way too small. And so for the first month that I was there, we were working on this office, tearing down walls, rebuilding the office, and then rebuilding desks. So this is how it looked before. Just kind of this tiny, cramped, very, that's not the video I was meaning to share, but the wall basically is about 3 feet on this side. It's a very tiny, cramped, and a lot of stuff in there. Let me play that video with VLC. I want to show you this video because this is kind of the way that... Give me just a second. Okay. So, these were the brick walls we had to deal with. And they just crumbled like crazy. The actual bricks were super good quality, but the mortar that held them together, it just crumbled. I mean, we had this like iron bar with the handle on it. We would just kind of run into the wall, and the bricks would just fall apart. It was fun, but it was also like, man, this is what this building is made of. Like, it's kind of scary. This is the field director, Jeff, and he's just knocking this wall down. Like, we didn't do anything. We're just hitting the wall, and this is what's happening. And we were told that back in the Soviet days, there was a lot of theft going on because there was a lot of hunger. And so workers would kind of steal different supplies from the job site and to sell to have food for their families. And so they're assuming that that's what happened here, is they were stealing parts of the mortar. And I'm guessing that's an issue. I was told that's an issue all across Ukraine. This is the office after we were finished. And that was felt like many months later, but I think it's only about a month and a half. And of course, this was a very painful time of my life. Trying to find paint. Their paint over there is very poor quality, like very poor. Like all the brown has red in there, and so we picked one color. I was trying to get this like nice man cave feel, you know, like you walk in the office, it's warm, it has this warmish feeling, you know, like that's what I wanted. And so I get this nice brown, and it turns very, very pink, to the point where one of the house parents, this Eastern minister, walks in, and it cracked me up because it was totally not like him. But he's like, oh, nice Barbie room. I was like, what? I was like, no. And so I went and got a better paint and tried to fix it. And then he came in and said another comment that was slightly better, but in a way even worse. And it doesn't look pink, but if the sun hits it just right, it's still pink, which is very sad and disappointing. But that's all right. It's okay. It's an office. It's not like a bedroom or something. This was trying to work on welding the desk together, the desk legs. We didn't have a bandsaw, and we didn't have a welder table. So I got teased many times for using plywood as a welder's table, but that's all I had. So, and it still worked somewhat decent. And then this was my house parent, Dan, painting them for me. Yeah, metal was extremely cheap out there, so that was kind of cool. Let's see, I think I already played this video. Yep, I did. Okay, so, oh. Yeah, okay. So this is how it was before, which I already showed this to you. And then this is how it was afterwards. So we pushed out both walls out to give us a lot more room, and then we put in a bunch of desks. And
this is how it looked once everyone kind of moved in. So there was basically room for three desks in there. So it was a long project, but I'm glad we were able to do it. So then we went on a Kyiv tour and seen a lot of beautiful things. This, I believe, I was told is some Soviet building. I don't know if it was their Department of Foreign Relations or something. Now it's Department of Transportation or something for the Ukrainian government. Went to this beautiful cathedral. I won't play the whole video. It's kind of long, but it was just a majestic building. I've been in Catholic churches, but never really an Orthodox church. It was pretty cool. And then, of course, I seen a priest, and I tried to get a selfie with him, but he was off. He didn't even give me a chance to ask, so part of it was because the other guys didn't think I would, and I kind of wanted to prove that I would. So then we used their public transportation, and it costs, I want to say, probably like 20 cents to get on the train. And once you're in the train system, you can go for as long as you want. It's just, it just ends whenever you leave the system. And their trains go crazy fast, and we were trying to get a video of it because you could feel when the train was coming because it would be pushing wind out of the tunnel. And I was leaning over that yellow line, and I wasn't supposed to, and the guy honked his horn at me and scared me out of my skin. It was so loud, and it was right there. But those trains would speed up. You'd get in there, and they would just, you had to be holding on, and then they would slam to a stop when they'd come to. It was pretty fun. It was quite the experience. I don't think he was too happy. So this was their metro system, and I wish I had a better video to show you, but these, actually, if you watch Tucker Carlson's video when he went to Russia, they have basically the exact same metro system. But these things, this was basically the shortest one, but these escalators are probably three times as long. Like, you can take a picture. I think I have a picture somewhere at the very bottom looking up, and it's like, you can hardly even see the top, and they move fast. To the point where we probably shouldn't have done this, but we would put quarters down the metal and let them slide down. It was honestly probably not smart, but anyways. that was there to try to get you out of the, because the subway kind of is pretty far down. This is my first trip down south. I went down to our IBA base down south, and this is the base where they rebuild roofs. This was, as you can tell, a very muddy time of the year. But this was a Paraguayan volunteer. He was the project manager down there. He's been there for probably 2-3 years. And I was really glad I could go on this trip. It kind of opened my eyes. I was able to see a lot of damage. Where I was, there was no damage. It felt like America. I mean, the store shelves were full. The people walking down the street. There was no bombed out buildings. I mean, the closest building was like 30 minutes away, and that was... Yeah, so to come down here and to see what these people had to live with day after day was definitely eye-opening. Some of the damage, and of course, checkpoints, which was fun. This was a village that we went to see if we could start work in this village, and I would say this is probably one of the worst villages I've seen. It was seriously hit, and there was a lot of people that wanted to come back to this specific village. I think like 80 families or something, so they were trying to get houses built. The roof is all tore up. 20 miles. It was pretty far. I mean, it was in range of artillery, but I mean, why would they hit the village again? There was no one really there, so it was pretty safe. We had someone say, "Hey, careful, there's a rocket in the road." And obviously, not everyone has red flags to mark stuff, so they find whatever they can find to mark stuff. This was a tire. And thankfully, this was not a dangerous one because we got in the car and we went, "Whoop, wait, was that the rocket we just drove over?" Yeah, it was. So, but yeah, I thought I had to get a picture. It was kind of cool. I mean, sad, but it was interesting. So then we went
So the Wayne Hirsch, which would be Gene Hirsch's brother, was trying to find villages where he could work and with his crew. And so he was the one that brought me down there. So he was going to all the different village heads, trying to find villages that he could work in. So this is one of the meetings, just kind of give you a snapshot. Obviously, it was all in Russian, so me and the guy in the black coat, we couldn't understand a word. We were just sitting there like, it's cold, you know, can't understand the conversation. But, you know, we were there along for the ride. This was some munition that my house parent had found in the back shed. I don't think it was explosive. I'm not sure even what it was for, but we couldn't find any explosives on it. It's another video I sent to the chat, but this was kind of our life over there, trying to understand some of these people with through Google Translate. And they would speak a mixture of Ukrainian and Russian, and so Google Translate had a really hard time picking up what they were trying to say. So it was, I think, the story she was trying to tell about her dog that was barking at someone or something. It's hard to understand. But, yeah. So we're not being unsociable here by ignoring her. We're desperately trying to understand what she's trying to say. And this lady, she wanted to get to church early, which was good because that was something that, anyways. And so she would come to our house because she lived like just down the block, and she expected us to take her to church, which we were glad to do. But she would come like 50 minutes early. You guys ready to go? You guys ready to go? Obviously, we didn't understand, but she would sit there and like blabber and rush and trying to tell us it's time to go. And I'm like, man, we got 50 minutes before this church starts, and we're like 2 minutes away from church. And so she would sit there. There was some interest. There was one time that she got so desperate that she called Wayne Hirsch to come pick her up. And we're like, we're just ready to leave in 2 minutes, but that's fine. She was a fun lady to get along with. We would sit there and just chat back and forth without understanding what each other was saying. And she didn't seem to care. So that was kind of fun. Mixing chicken feed. They have this chick project where they distribute chicks to different villagers. And, of course, feed is expensive. And so if we can come up with a feed that we can come up with that's cheaper, obviously, that does the same thing, that's perfect. So we raised some chickens, and this was the feed we had to mix. That was fun and interesting because obviously there was different density, and so it's hard to mix. I'm sorry, I had to throw this in here. This is the first oversized mannequin I had seen, and I don't know why it cracked me up because I had never seen something like this, but it cracked me up, so I had to throw it in there. This was the month of February. Actually, interesting fact, this is the mom of these boys was Trevor Smith's first grade teacher from Wyoming. And some Russian hats. We were teasing the boy on the left that he looked like a KGB officer with that fur hat. But it was cool because it gets super cold out there, so you can find some of the best gear. This was a neighbor lady that was plowing her garden but she was dragging this little harrow. And it's kind of a short video, but you kind of see. I was really impressed with the work ethic of those people. You would see these old people out in the street, just sweeping the streets with these little brooms. Like, their mentality of retirement, they don't even have that understanding. Like, they just always are working. And I think she even later put weights on this thing to try to get it deeper in the ground. We thought about asking or offering to help, but none of us really wanted to, so we just watched. Hey, she could have asked for help if she wanted it. I was working one day trying to do the office and get it working, and then all of a sudden I get this phone call from this number I didn't recognize. And this girl was like, hey, come to Sasha Zuba's place at the couple on the right. There's someone here that I think you want to meet. I was like, what? And I was like, I was like so confused. Like, who could this person be? I was like, sure. I thought it was actually Kingdom Channel's person that was going to be in the area. And so I was like, man, what the world? So I decided to come, and lo and behold, here's Mark Proper. And I knew he was in Ukraine, but we were in different spots, so we rarely saw each other. But that was kind of special to see him and hear his stories of what he's been doing. And then the couple to the right is a Ukrainian family. Once again, we could hardly understand them. They were easier to understand because they only spoke Russian, so we could just translate. But they were a really sweet couple. They had us over several times. I think he used to be a Baptist minister when he was still a Baptist. This was when our house parents left. I really loved this couple. They looked not happy, or he doesn't look very happy because it was like 2 in the morning. Or no, it wasn't. I guess you can see the clock. But they were very tired, and they were just about right. We were just like 5 minutes from getting on the road to head to the train station. But they were a super sweet couple, and I really hope I can meet them again sometime. They're Pilgrim Conference from like Pennsylvania, Dan and Marlis Martin. Ukrainian mousetrap, thought it was kind of interesting. I'm guessing, the idea I'm guessing is that they chew through that string and then it springs up and traps them. This was a rat that I got. That was one of the first things I started missing was hunting. And so when there was these massive rats that were going eating seeds in the garden, I was like, yes. And that was kind of fun. One of the examples of the fact that OSHA's not in Ukraine. Thought this was hilarious. Stack of pallets all ratcheted, strapped together, and then a little cage up there. Yeah, it's funny. This was kind of my life trying to, you can see in the background, I guess you can't see it, but I've got the currency exchange rate up, trying to figure out what the current rate is, and then trying to make sure all the money is where all the money's supposed to be. We didn't have a counter machine, so I had to count by hand. And because their currency is like way less than ours, you have a lot of bills. This is a chicken project manager. I don't know what he explained to me what he was doing. He's also Ukrainian, but he was trying to butcher some chickens. We had a washer that went out, and we didn't have the ratchet straps, so we used our belts, which actually worked pretty good. This was a circuit board. You can kind of see why we needed to replace it. I think we had a power surge that wrecked it. So there was a children's ministry going on, and we were like, we really want to go to this. And so we hopped in the van, and we were told by the field director's son, hey, we should go to the field lanes. The field lanes are dry this time of year. Okay, sure, that sounds fun. So we start going down the field lanes. And lo and behold, they were not dry. And this was, we got high-centered, actually. But it was so sticky that we couldn't get out. We tried everything. We finally had to call someone. Yeah, we got stuck, and we need help to be pulled out. You know, so that was kind of embarrassing. We tried literally everything. So this, I thought I'd throw this in here. Food out there is extremely cheap. This is probably, you can recognize stuff from McDonald's. And it's about 40 of their grievance to a dollar. So that's like $5-6 there. Maybe a little less. Or I guess a little more. Anyways, food was crazy cheap. Which then, of course, like I kind of got bad habits of going out to eat because it was so cheap. But here were some friends I was hanging out with. It was his birthday, the boy, little boy's birthday. Boys will be boys, right? This was a gunpowder to a howitzer round that we had laying around the base. Super fun to play with. And by the way, don't play with fire. This was, you know, because volunteers cycle through so often, we try to take them on tours. And there was a number of these volunteers that were going home. And so we're like, let's go out to Kyiv and kind of show them some of the sights of the capital city. So I don't think you guys would know any of those people. This was coming to Dennis's wedding. I thought Poland was just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, beautiful out there. And then, of course, my precious niece, which I, you know, my family was not very nice. They kept sending me pictures and videos of her, which just made it all the worse.
you know. And so I was desperate, looking forward to seeing her. So when I could hold her, it was amazing. Yeah. And I don't really have any pictures of my family, I guess, but I obviously met my family while I was there too. This was coming back. Once again, I don't know why I threw this in here, but this was just, I'm just showing my experiences while I was there. I decided I was going to try to save money and get a cheap hotel. And, yeah, this is the hotel I got. It was very filthy. I mean, it was so uncomfortable to sleep there. And I was reading the not the rules, but like the welcome sheet. And they said on there, if you want your sheets washed, let us know ahead of time. Like, what? So apparently this is what they always do to everyone. And what's crazy is they had a super high rating. So it didn't make any sense. We had to get our documents in Poland. And so we tried to do them Friday. And they said, well, you don't have everything you need. You can come back Monday. So we had to spend the whole weekend there in Poland, in Warsaw. And so we got to go tour most of the city. It was a pretty fun time. And this is one of the cathedrals. I mean, all the cathedrals are unlocked, so you can just kind of walk in any of them and kind of take a look around. It's another just majestic building, just massive. Of course, it was deathly quiet in there. This was a couple months ago. We had an Easter service, and I got the job of throwing candy from the top of the van to all the children down below. That was kind of fun. They were playing soccer in the background. That was a fun day. This was right before I went to T4. I went down south to drop off some food boxes. I think many of you know about that. And it was kind of a pretty time of the year. It's still kind of wet and muddy, but there was a lot of... Everything was green. Anyways, show that video to show that... So field lanes are basically public roads. You can use them. It's actually up to the farmer to maintain these roads. And if the farmer doesn't maintain the roads, then the people can drive on the fields. Like it's public property. And so these farmers would try to make these massive ditches to keep people from them. Here was a van that we saw that was blown up. This village, they now are just trying to terrorize the people and just basically drop grenades on any vehicle that's around. So we had to park our vehicle under a canopy while we were there, even though we didn't even hear any drones. It's just a precaution. But the guy was telling us this van had already been broken down, and he was just like, the Russians just finished it off. So it was sad, but it was also minorly humorous. But yeah. Coming back, you see bunches of little pickups with 50 cals, or probably not 50 cals, some heavy machine gun on the back of it. And I'm guessing they were expecting drones that night, like the big drones that attacked the cities. And there was just these, there's probably, I don't know, 20 pickups on our way home just down by the road. This is coming to T4. They're little interesting coffee cups, coffee filters, little packets put in hot water, or you pour hot water through it, and it's just like this miniature coffee filter. Kind of cool. I thought this was funny. I didn't ask Trevor for permission, but I had to throw this up here. So at T4, they were trying to teach us about gray man, about, you know, blending in with other people, and so people don't think of you as someone different. And the example they used of who not to be was Trevor Smith. But of course, no one knew who that was, but I did, and I thought it was hilarious, so I sent him a picture. Sorry, Trevor, I should have asked for sharing that. Yeah, I had an amazing time at T4. I learned a load of stuff. I would highly recommend it to anyone to go. It was definitely life-changing. But this was Reagan Schrock's baby, and she was the sweetest little thing, and because I was missing my niece so bad, it was awesome to have a little baby around. Yeah. And for those of you that watch Anabaptist Perspectives podcast, I thought you might like this. This is when we were leaving, they were setting up to interview this guy. So if you watch the podcast, you kind of can recognize where that room is.
This was a little baby that was also super fun. And was just so chill. I mean, you can see he's being put up on someone's shoulders and he just didn't care. He just sat there. Super fun to hang out with. Alright, I'm getting toward the end here. But let me... I got to go on a chick distribution, and that was really fun. I don't know how many chicks we distributed, but we'd distribute, I think, 25, and then we'd give them a bag of starter feed and a bag of finisher feed. And so, yeah, it was kind of stinky, but it was kind of fun. Stinky and loud. Orthodox church that was in the village, and I was like, they started an hour before our church did, so I was like, oh, let's go to the Orthodox church to see what this church is like. So we went there, and then right after that we went to our service, and I don't know, I enjoyed the Orthodox service, but there was just something about the simplicity of our service that just kind of stood out to me. I'm thankful I'm not so good at Orthodox church. So this was last Sunday I was there, and it was kind of sad, honestly, but yeah. On the way home, I got to visit Auschwitz. It's a concentration camp in Poland, and if you're ever in Poland, I'd recommend it. It's seriously amazing. And then going home, you know, I had 3 suitcases and 2 hands and 1 backpack. And, you know, any of you who've worked on a baler crew knows that baling twine can be used for just about anything. And, kind of tore apart my suitcase, but it was worth it. So this is the picture of Greenland coming in. I've seen this in nature movies and stuff, but to actually see it in real life was just breathtaking. I was a little worried about taking this picture because I was crowding next to the exit door with my phone right next to the handle. And I was worried people were thinking I was trying to open the door, but no, I didn't. So. This was the final bird that took me home. Embarrassing story about this. I missed my flight twice. And they were both because... Well, no, I missed it once, actually. So I got to my gate, and I was going to get home early. You know, praise the Lord, I'm ready to go to bed. I was going to get home around 9, I think. And I come up to my gate, and I was so tired. And so I fell asleep. And I woke up 10 minutes later, no big deal. Good, I'll just go back to sleep, wake up 10 minutes later. I should set up an alarm. No, I don't need to set an alarm. So I went back to sleep. I woke up, and there was people boarding. I was like, okay, good. You know, because obviously boarding takes a long time. You know, they got a lot of groups to go through. So I got time to go back to sleep another 10 minutes. And I wake up to see the line is empty. And I run down the line, and I said, hey, you know, I act like nothing's happening. I'm like, hey, I'm, you know, is this boarding? You know, are you Gussie? Are you Caleb? Oh, sorry, we shut the gates 10 minutes ago. What? And so I tried not to let them know that I was sleeping, and that's how I missed the flight. I didn't lie, but I tried to make it sound like I, you know. And they didn't even care. They gave me another flight. And so I go to that gate, and I am also very tired, so I decide to lay down for a nap, but I'm very embarrassed that I missed my first flight, so I set an alarm. And I wake up to a guy shaking me, and he's like, hey, your alarm's going off, don't want you to miss your flight. And sure enough, my alarm was sitting there just ringing in the middle of the airport. I was like, man, made it home, and I was going to share a little bit of a devotional, but of stuff I learned while I was there, but I only got 10 minutes. So, yeah, well, I guess that was kind of my life in Ukraine, and
some pictures of what I've done, what I did. And do you have any questions? Do you have any questions if my time over there, or, you know, if you know if someone or if you yourself want to go over there? Yeah, any questions? I have a little bit of time. We've got about 10 minutes. Yeah. No. No, they're not in Ukraine anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. They were there for the first part of the war and then they left.
Another one, did you get an overall feel like what the
war? Yeah. Well, I mean, all I heard is what people were telling me, you know, other missionaries that were there, and I think from what I heard is people are just tired. They're tired of their brothers and fathers being killed, and they obviously don't want Russia to take over, but I think many of them don't care anymore. They just would rather have peace, and it's kind of sad. There's a lot of tired people over there. Yeah.
Do you think you grew any spiritual?
Yeah, I think so. There was several times where I was trying to figure out why did I pick Ukraine, what was the purpose for here, but I think looking back, I can kind of see a lot of lessons that the Lord taught me. So I'd say it's worth it.
If you would have had time for your devotions, what would have been about?
Well, I wanted to speak on relationships. That was something that, I was going to get into more why I was going to speak on relationships, but I think that was the main thing the Lord taught me while I was there, the importance of them and the dangers of when they fall apart.
You still have 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, I think it took longer than that. Oh, he told me the name, but I had never seen any of the ones that he had. I forget. It should be coming out here soon, I'm guessing. I don't know.
This is a question. Could you take your devotion and compact it down however you feel and tell us what you learned?
Maybe. Well, yeah. There was a lot of team conflict while I was there. A lot of mistrust, a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of mild hatred even towards each other. And frankly, I had never even fathomed some of the struggles that could happen. It wasn't with me. I feel like I had good relationships with everyone. But it was between other team members. And I had never seen stuff like that before. It wasn't until I got back that I realized that the Lord kind of showed me that, hey, that's kind of what I wanted you to see while you were there. I think that was, looking back, I'm thankful that I saw that. And learn some things from that. And that's kind of a very brief rundown. That's what I was going to talk about was relationships. And I was going to go into some of the things that I've seen destroy relationships and some things that we can do to try to strengthen those. Was that me?
I think it popped great.
Oh, I'm talking too loud. I'm sorry. That's kind of what I was going to talk on. I think it would probably take 30 minutes or more, so I'd probably, anyways. But, any more questions?
What are your plans going forward?
Like, in what sense?
I mean, I'm assuming people might want to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I work in Harvest, and then I plan to go up to Walla Walla and then back out to Iowa. And then after that, I won't be a trader, and I'll be around BCF for the foreseeable future. So I'm sorry I'm gone so much, but yeah. So, yeah. And if anyone wants to go to Ukraine, I would recommend it. I mean, it's a building experience. You'll learn a lot, that's for sure. So, yeah. Yeah. In fact, actually, they had like a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of medicines that were delivered to our place. And so they had to come down and sort them. And so they were there for about a week and a half, about a three quarters of a week or so. So that was I got lots of funny videos of Mark telling stories. It was a fun time. Their whole team was staying at our place. But that was, I think I only saw him like three times maybe while I was there. Yeah. Yeah. All right, any more questions? All right, well, thank you.